This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and this is my impression of a famous person with amnesia. Do you know who I am?
Thank you. I'm sure someone already has that joke.
It's good, though. I like it. Big fan. I'm Brandi Posey, and stars, they're just like us, gaseous and constantly hurtling towards self-destruction.
Yes.
I'm Tess Barker, and no, you get off my phone.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandi, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody.
Woohoo!
Another banger show for you. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. First, some announcements. Today's guest is Ashley Ray, who I am actually hosting a show with now in Los Angeles. It's at the Airliner.
Ooh.
It's the second Thursday of every month. That means if you're listening to this today on October 13th, you can come tomorrow, October 14th, to the show. So just find us, find our, you know, whatever. You can find us online and find the links and stuff. We have Lori Kilmartin headlining tomorrow, and it's a really cute bar, really nice, fancy cocktails, good for a date night. And yeah, come hang out with us.
Super there. Cute place. Is it just live, or are you guys doing live streams?
We're just going to do it live because the live stream was a little funky, but yeah. So only in LA, exclusive.
Wow. Get your ass there.
Second Thursdays, check them out, and then also come see us on our next one is the first Sunday of November. I will be out of town, but Babs and Tess are going to be hosting that one. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'll be coming straight from Oregon for that, and I'm bringing my suitcase to the show.
Oh. Wow,
that's how committed I am to bringing
straight
you people
straight from
comedy.
Yeah, that'll be November 7th. You can get tickets to that at tinyurl.com/ladytoladylive.
And if you're in the 805. First of all, shout out to you. But second of all, come see me do stand up at Night Lizard Brewing Company this Saturday, 10/16. I'm very excited to be doing comedy in Santa Barbara.
Ooh,
come on out.
Hell yeah. And I've got a big old 3-week tour. It's happening at the end of October. I'm going to be going through Austin, Texas, Gainesville, Florida, Asheville, North Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, Chicago, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Denver, Colorado. All dates and details are on brandiposey.com. There aren't ticket links for all of those shows yet. They are coming, but put the date in your calendar and then, you know, we'll work it out day of or whatever. But come see me. I would love meeting people on the road, and I'll bring some cool, weird merch with me and stuff, too.
Yes, it's, you know, we're so glad that live shows are getting back, and it means so much to us when you come out and support us and we get to meet you in person. So if you have a chance to come out, please come out and either see us in LA or check out Brandi on the road. We love to meet you.
We can take selfies.
Yes.
Oh my God. Take selfies. We just, it's great. Sometimes people come up and be like, I'm the person who left this lady problem. And you're like, holy shit.
Cool.
And it's just, it's
yeah.
a good
yeah.
time.
Yeah. We get jazz meeting you guys too, because like we're lucky our fan base is so funny. Your voicemails crack us up all the time. And we're just like, man, you guys are cool. We like hanging out with you too. So come say hi.
It's a good crew. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to our episode this week.
Shall we?
Like I said, her name is Ashley Ray. She's super funny TV writer and comedian. She is an incredible TV critic. I don't even know if a critic is the right word anymore, but
TV writer?
A TV connoisseur. She writes about TV. She has a podcast called TV, I Say. And you've seen her in the New York Times, Vulture, and The Cut. You've seen her on HBO Max. So please enjoy our convo and hang sesh with Ashley Ray.
I know. Well, we just, no big deal, but we just were in a Beastie Boys cover band. And it was honestly really fun. First cover band experience. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is why you would be on a cover band, because it's awesome. Because you immediately have the audience on your side.
Oh, yeah. I have ideas for so many cover bands, but they're like all girl cover bands. Like I want to do like a Blink 182 cover band that's like Pink 182. Or like a all girl Weezer cover band that's like the Pink album. Just very.
Yes. I love
Pink,
it.
Just with Pink. And
just like, with, yeah. Or yeah. just it's all like Pink Weezer mashups. I think that could be fun too.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
That's great.
Wow. So what about, would you throw in a couple, I'm sorry, but I just need to ask, would you throw in a couple Pink songs?
Yeah. I think people would want that and they wouldn't be expecting it. And they'd be like, oh, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's how you elevate it above another level, above all the other Weezer cover bands that exist, for sure.
Pink has some hits also. I just want to share my appreciation for the song So What. I like had a horrible like hookup with someone over the summer. And then I just like jammed that on the walk home and was like, you're right. So what? I'm a rock star. Pink is right. So
that's a really funny song because it like, so I do this thing on road trips sometimes, highly recommend, where you play a song and then you look at everyone else driving, you pretend that's the song they're listening to.
Oh.
And I will say So What by Pink is the best version of that. Because if you just get like an old man driving alone looking like really wistful and thinking that he's like, yeah, so what? I'm still a rock star. Like it really, it's a perfect combo.
Yeah. It's also like a hype song that really only applies to Pink. I'm not a rock star and I don't have my rock band. But
that's the beauty of Pink is she kind of is like generous about her pinkness.
Yeah.
We can all be Pink.
She invites you in.
Actually, none of us can be Pink.
A lot of people say that part of her career is misunderstood.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
No, never apologize. Never apologize. Perfect.
That, you know, that game, that made me. That made me one in the Pink.
What?
Never mind. I was going to say.
It's real.
I was going to steal.
Real two in the stink kind of pun, you know? There it is. We got there.
There we go.
Make any sense at all.
Oh. Good Lord.
Well, shout out. Ashley and I have, I'll talk about this in the intro too, but we started a show together at the Airliner in LA. And I was really excited to do it because we have a shared love of the show Bar Rescue.
Oh.
And it has been on Bar Rescue before. So I feel like we really landed like in the right place.
I have a question. Have they maintained a lot of the elements that Mr. Tapper put into the bar? Like what is... Okay.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. And in fact, like, I guess after Bar Rescue, that guy like sold it to new owners and the new owners hate the Bar Rescue thing. Which, of course, like our first show, we were just like, Bar Rescue.
Yeah, we were just talking about it so much. And they were like, you know, we're not the same owners. And we're like, we know. We're just we're comedians. Yeah. We're just fucking around.
I mean, I would like some kind of I think all places where a reality show helped should have some kind of a plaque.
A plaque, something.
Yes.
People want to know these things.
Absolutely. Yes.
He did start doing, he started putting plaques into his show. But like, no, it is a very nice bar. There is no way he came near this place.
Yeah. If you're a real Bar Rescue head, you know that like John uses the same like four interior designers. Yeah. He's like, this is a football one, throw in a football. Or he's like, this is a business class place. Make it all like ice and glass.
Exactly.
And this place actually looks nice.
Right.
So it's not John Tapper.
Do they have a blue drink is my question, because that feels like a very John Tapper move, is to like add a blue drink to the menu.
you know what, they do have like a ton of really nice cocktails. I wow. bet there's a blue one in there.
So wait, Babs, was it you yeah. that I was yes. recently talking about with blue drinks? Yeah, because we're both really anti, right?
I'm not anti blue drink.
Oh, okay.
But you said that you were anti because you had to help a friend throw up.
Yeah, and then and it happened like 15 years ago in Huntington Beach. There is a night in Huntington Beach,
home of the blue drink.
I went out in style, yes. but I yeah. wasn't even the one drinking the blue drink. I was the bitch holding the ponytail. And right. because of that, I simply cannot.
Yeah.
I like, there's nothing.
Was it? It was an adios motherfucker, right? It had to be, because that's yeah. like the.
That's the only
blue
one,
drink.
Right? Yeah. That's the blue drink.
It's like a Long Island.
There's a hurricane.
Oh, is it a hurricane blue? Right. Yeah, that probably is blue too.
Yeah, I thought. I think so. But I guess hurricanes can be red.
I haven't even thought about the drink. I haven't thought about that drink for a very long time. Anyway, it's a really cool spot though.
Yeah, it used to be a really great like old punk venue that like. Dirty grody bands used to play there all the time, and then they fixed it up, and now it's got like, it's still got that kind of like energy, but now it's like a zhuzhed up like nice like comedy yes. venue too.
Yeah, cool. It's like upstairs is really nice. Mm-hmm. They have some good, yeah, good food.
Yeah,
you know, just again, way better no, than anything John Taffer could yeah. put together.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say. John Taffer taught me the term, and I don't know if the other ladies will know this. Butt funnel. Do you know this, Ashley?
Oh, yes.
It's funnel or tunnel?
Oh, yeah. John loves
Is it funnel?
Butt
it's butt funnel.
Funnel,
right? Okay.
Yes, it's the butt funnel. It's like when he puts like two tables like kind of close to each other so that like when you pass, you either have to like rub your butts against each other or
your butts
butt
or your fronts.
Like, yeah, it's like your butts are, it's like a whole like airplane seat situation.
He's
like, this is what gets the sexiness in the dance club. Like any bar where there's a dance club, he's like, butt funnels. You got to put butt funnels around the dance floor. So that like, and he's like, the men love this. They're like forced to squeeze past the girls.
Yeah, and they'll recreate it for you and they'll show two people like, and then they like eye each other because they just, you know.
Yeah, they're forced through the butt funnel together.
Oh my God.
A butt funnel yeah. reenactment.
Yeah.
A
like,
grim situation.
You guys, my world is being rocked right now that this thing that my entire life I thought was an accident is by design.
It's by
the
design.
Butt funnel's
like,
on purpose?
Yes, it's like the butt wow. funnel of love. Like, he's like, this is what gets people, like, they're drinking, and then they're squeezing through, and
yes,
then it's like
I
a
have
story.
I 1,000% been fingered because of a butt funnel. I'm positive. Like, no question.
Yeah.
That has been yeah. a direct result. Yeah, it's kind of a wild.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a visionary, that John Taffer. He.
Does he like measure the butt funnel with his neck? Like that is the length of one
I think
butt
it's
funnel.
Three, I think three necks. Like, three Taffer necks.
Yeah,
three
I think necks. It's three Taffer necks is how okay. we measure that one.
Perfect. Man. Yeah. Has anybody ever done like, there should be a tour that just goes to like a comedy tour that just goes to bar rescue bars.
Oh, that would be so
them.
Fun.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part of, because yeah. I love like Kitchen Nightmares and stuff too. And my number, I guess this is maybe my favorite part of any reality show, but is looking up it up afterwards. Like I love to be like, all right, what happened? Are they around still? And like, especially after like, you know, reality TV now, and you're like, what the fuck happened to these people? Like, where are they? Mm-hmm. I watch all of Love Island. And I fucking still haven't. I need to look everyone up. Shit. And see, I remember like one couple, they were like one of the last ones to, they almost won, you know. I read that afterwards, she just ghosted him. I was like, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
They spent like three
I'd
months
be like,
together.
If I was on any reality show, that's what I would do. I would just be like, and I won and I got the money and bye.
Yes. I don't actually want to speak to you.
Yeah.
Like, off camera.
Now I'll say like Ashley is, you know, an amazing like TV writer and a reality TV connoisseur, I would say.
Oh, love that.
I study mostly 90 Day Fiancé is my sort of
your
expertise.
Okay.
I actually, this summer, I like got invited to go to this like documentary film festival in Missouri. And it was like people who were like, oh, we studied like women teaching English in the middle of the desert. Oh, this documentary is about like people who are saving water all over the world. And then they had me come and do an entire panel just on 90 Day Fiancé.
What? You're living the dream. You are living the dream.
It was amazing. And like, I thought all these like serious documentary people would be like, this is not art. And they all were just like, 90 Day Fiancé is one of the best like documentary experiences on TV right now.
Wait, can you give us a, like, some of the top line points from that talk?
Oh yeah. I mean, there, I actually, if you go to like truefalsefilmfest.com or something, I wrote like an entire like 3,000 word essay on it and like memoriam book about 90 Day Fiancé. But it basically is just that like after sort of the height of the Kardashians and the Trump era of reality TV, you see like this cultural shift of people being like, I don't want reality TV that's clearly manufactured and is about people who are pretending, who aren't really as rich as they seem to be. I want real reality TV. And TLC kind of slid into that slot perfectly because technically, it's all educational. It is a learning channel. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
You're learning something. That's
Dr. Pimple Popper, 90 Day Fiancé. You're learning. Smother. Dr. Pimple
Popper. I can't. How?
I can't watch it.
I just.
And like, I can watch Hoarders and eat food at the same time. Like, I can get a plate of spaghetti and just be like, yes, find that dead cat in the house. And but Dr. Pimple Popper, I can't look at it. I can't think about it. It's so gross. Like,
how are there. How is there more than one episode of that show? It's like, all right.
Because our healthcare system is broken. That's what
But like, I popped a pimple. Like, what else do you want?
Well, because like, if you're, if that is more than for just... you, if that does it for you, you want that like on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I can't.
Like, for
some
people, that's really satisfying. And actually for me, like, it's weird because I actually do find satisfaction in like blisters and ingrown hairs and I like popping shit on myself.
No, I think on ourselves, but, like, that's one thing.
Someone else? No.
Yeah, and it's like, it's so beyond like pimples now. Like, she'll just be like, this person has like a full cyst on their head. And it's like,
But like, Dr. Cyst Popper doesn't sound as good. So,
it doesn't have a ring to it. But that's like the version of reality TV that I love. Like, I like real people who are making really bad decisions about their life in real time. Like 90 Day Fiancé, you know, or Smothered. And a lot of people, like they're more of the, like, Real Housewives, like Love Island. And that's the, like, I just started watching Real Housewives, like, this year.
Which cities? Because
a friend I stayed with. Oh, she made me watch the one. Literally, like, a friend made me start watching Beverly Hills. I want to say Beverly Hills.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah. It was Lisa Rinna.
Yes, that's Beverly Hills.
Then I found out today that I did not know who Lisa Vanderbilt was at all, and I thought she was Lisa Rinna, and I just, it's like I've been introduced
Lisa
to an entire
Lisa Rinna
world
is
people.
Like, I sort of know who she is in the world of celebrity, whatever, and then I like started watching a little bit of that one and I was like, wait, she's like around? Like, I thought that she was just someone who maybe existed like 15 years ago and I didn't.
There's like my mom watches The Young and the Restless and there's a lady from that show on Real Housewives. And I was just like, what? Like, why are you on this? Don't you get paid enough making TV every single day?
Yeah.
You know what always sticks with me? I had a friend who was on a soap opera and he told me that he had to pack his own sack lunch every day and that every day the soap stars go sit in a room and they eat their sack lunches. So I don't think soap stars make that much money. I think it's like a separate pay scale or something.
I could understand that. I'm sure there's like some sort of like old Hollywood rate when they made these shows in the 1950s that like screwed over actors for forever. They were like, a daily soap opera person only needs 50 cents a day. What could they need?
The median salary of a soap opera is $53,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how, but
that's really not a lot
for
of
every
money.
Day.
No. For that.
I mean,
job.
I guess
okay, but like
weird.
I see the appeal though too, because like it is so stable.
Right.
Like it's probably one of the most stable acting jobs you could have. Like some of these ladies been here for like 30 years, 9 to 5 every day, Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I mean the girl who is on Real Housewives, My mom actually named me after her character in The Young and the Restless, Ashley Abbott. And she, like, the day I was born, she came back to the show and my mom was like, this is a sign. I need to name my daughter Ashley. And then I start watching, like, Real Housewives and I'm like, holy shit, she's still going. She's still on the show and now she's on Real Housewives. There we go.
It's amazing.
I do not know her real name, but I do know when I watch Real Housewives, I just call her Ashley Abbott because I don't know her actual name. That's
amazing. What is Smothered? I haven't heard of that one.
Oh my God. It's disgusting. It's basically about mother daughters who have really inappropriately close relationships.
Oh, wow. That is just called Smothered. Yeah. That's great.
And it's. Yeah,
I'm sure the reality show is helping too.
Oh, of course. It's like
wow.
One girl and her mom dress the same, have the same haircut, and then like the daughter got married and the husband is just like, hey, could we ever make a decision without your mother? It's a little creepy. One mother-daughter, they wax each other. Like they give each other Brazilians.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and they share bath water.
Like, that's worse.
Like,
that's worse.
Yeah, like that's, the mom that's... will take a bath and then they'll just like reheat it and the daughter will take a bath.
No, that's a molest. That's a molest. That's not. No. Uh-uh.
And
no, you molest your child.
And then they will literally wax each other and it's one of like two of them got breast consultations together because the mother was like, my daughter's boobs are perfect. I want hers, so I brought her in. It's like very uncomfortable.
Where did they find? That's such a random, like, other ones I can see where it's like, hey, are you like dating someone who lives in another country? Come on the show. But how did they find people for this where they're like,
do
hey,
you love your mom too much?
Does your mom love your tits and wants them? Like, come on our TV show.
Yeah. And then they spun that off into like Mama's Boy, which is like the mom son version of it, which is. Not as disgusting, so it's actually really boring because it's mostly just moms who are like, I love my little boy, and I think his wife is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, waxing each other and, like, sharing vibrators.
I will say, so...
Oh, my God. There's this... I just have to... If you do ever watch the show, there's this one couple where the daughter is a lesbian and is dating a woman who looks just like her mother, and it is the most insane thing in the world. Just want to say, and then the mom is like teaching her like, oh, I use this vibrator. You should try the. I got her this one and I let her use mine. And it was just, they share them and it was gross. I just.
No.
It's a lot of issues. There's a lot of issues there.
I like that there's just a massive genre of reality TV that's like, well, my life could be worse. Like that's just what it feels like.
That's all TLC is. And that's why I love their programming.
I will say
the related, this is a weird, whatever. Maybe I brought this up before, but sharing the bathwater thing, I had a joke where I referenced like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, that term. Mm-hmm. And I looked up like where it was from. And it's because back in the day when you could only heat up like one thing of hot water for the whole house, you know, you would all bathe in it. Yeah. So the man, it would go in a certain order. The man of the house would go first. The rest of the men of the house would go. Then the woman of the house, then the children, and then the baby would go last. And the thing was that maybe your bathwater was so dirty at that point that you would forget your baby was in it and then you would throw it out.
I feel like, but I just feel like in terms of cleanliness, it would make sense to go the other way. Like babies
least, first.
Like most clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that, you know, because other, like, yeah.
I just think that I was like, well, okay, this was obviously probably before, like, you know, people were really having abortions. So I think this was just their way of being like, whoops.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
See you later, kid.
Oh, no.
Seventh one out the door.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Honestly, at that point, being in that water, you're probably doing the baby a favor.
Yeah. That's disgusting. Sharing bathwater is gross.
I would not share bathwater with my husband.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I do think it's weird. You're more weirded out by that than like the mother like waxing her own daughter. Like
I don't
that
know
to
why
me like...
that's less weird to me because I think it's so clinical.
Deeply, upsetting.
I think it can be clinical in some way because like you know I'll go get waxed by someone. That can be like All right, this is just like a job.
Yes, a stranger should be the only person who does that.
Ashley, all of it's upsetting. Everything that you have said is upsetting.
Please let me preface this by saying it's all horrific.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. All of it is bad.
I was just like, I can't. And then they tried, like, they have a son, and he has a girlfriend, and they tried to convince the girlfriend to let the mom wax her, and the girlfriend was just like, no.
No, that's a
so
boundary.
Do you think this is real? Like, because, like, you said, you know, you like reality shows that are real, but I do feel like a lot of times in 90 Day Fiancé, like, I've read stuff where they're like, well, that was fake. So, like, what do you think is the, you know?
Yes. I mean, there are fake couples, and you can tell when there's a fake couple on the show. And I think the producers throughout the years have gotten a lot better at weeding them out. Like Brittany and Yazan, who were on 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way season one. The 90 Day Fiancé, the entire universe. If you've never watched, I wrote a guide on Vulture, your guide to the 90 Day Fiancé universe. But like, they were in season one of The Other Way, and you could tell Brittany was this girl who was just like, I want to be a model and a rapper. And so I'm dating this guy. And it was just like so clear they didn't have a real relationship. Right, it was all just kind of BS.
Do you know that Barbara almost got onto 90 Day Fiancé?
No, I didn't know this. What?
I was like talking with a guy who lived in Israel, I think. It was a long time ago. But no, we were talking and I straight up was like, we should try to go on 90 Day Fiancé. And I contacted them and the producers like, I called me, but he was too shy.
It would have been so good. It would have been one for the ages.
It would have been legit. I mean, we did like each other legitimately. I obviously never.
They love those kinds when it's like, and though, because there are the couples where it's like, we've been together for 10 years and finally we're moving together. And it's like, okay, who cares? Romance. Don't need it. Right. Like, fine. And then there's the people who you can clearly tell are like, yeah, we've been talking online and on the phone for a while. And we thought, why not give it a shot? And a visa is the only way if we get married to do it. So let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like, and now I'm on their mailing list. And they're always like, are you dating someone who lives in another country? Like, so.
See, that's how they get the smothered people, by the way, in an answer to your question. Yes. They develop these email lists. They have a network of people who are willing to go on TV and do anything. And ba-boom, the rest is history.
Ba-boom.
Ba-ba-boom. That's it. That's 100% exactly how it works.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Ashley.
Ashley.
Ashley,
right? Hey.
Okay, let's play a little. Let's do some MySpace quiz time.
Fuck
gonna
yeah.
Gonna roll the music.
Yeah. God, I love MySpace quiz.
I know.
MySpace quiz.
Wow. I'm really kind of shocked that MySpace quizzes haven't, like, I didn't think MySpace would come back, but you would think quizzes would somehow.
I think that they will and they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facebook will do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Instagram would figure it out.
Yeah. I just written a lot of quizzes and I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Right.
They're really annoying to write. Like,
but I feel like these are like not, these are just open-ended, like dumb questions.
Yeah. Like these, the mic. Yes. Oh my God.
So I Ash got is over fly. There killing. Nice. Sorry. Hell yeah.
But I feel like the MySpace quizzes were always just like, what's your favorite color?
Oh, that's true. You repost it with your answer. Like, I'm thinking of the later iteration, the BuzzFeed quiz.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that those, like takes those, some actual shit.
Yeah. That actually requires like brain cells to be like,
yeah.
Wow.
When you're watching Emily in Paris, how do you feel about the color orange?
Man, BuzzFeed really like, and I know it's still around, but it really had a hold on everything. Like,
oh, yes.
It did,
for
yeah.
a solid for few sure. years.
And people now don't understand. No. Like, I have an 18 and 19-year-old niece, and I was, like, joking about BuzzFeed, and they were just like, yeah, I sometimes see that. Who cares? And I'm just like, no. No, like, it was no,
it
a,
was a co- thing.
Like, everyone, that was how you knew everything was Buzz, like BuzzFeed was the thing.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And there were just all, everyone was just getting paid $50 to go like eat weird shit on, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Glory days.
And it our like friend. Revolutionized yeah. the media landscape. Like, I remember I was like, cause I was I was working at MTV and during the BuzzFeed time. And it was like, all of a sudden I went from being able to write like long articles to just like, please only submit things that are lists from 1 to 13.
Yep. Listicles, video content, yes. quizzes.
Yeah.
But the MySpace quiz, I feel like that was just like you copy and pasted it into your bulletin. You went through, do I have a tattoo? Yes. Want to tell the story about it? Don't really want to go into it. You know, totally. It was just so like, it was just so free flowing and fun.
Well, okay. Ashley, you're about to take one. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So, Ashley, number one, what is your favorite color?
Right now, because fall is here, I like to go with an oxblood.
Ooh.
Wait, this is really maybe ditzy, but what color is that?
It's like a kind of deep maroonish red. It's like blackish maroon red.
Ooh, I see. Yeah.
That is
the traditional Doc Marten is a
yes.
Okay, that is yes, the color.
That color, exactly.
Yeah, that feels like a very fall color to me.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
It's like a very dark red leaf or something.
I like that
like
color.
My favorite color changes.
That's a nice color for a lipstick.
It is. Mm-hmm. I literally in my bag, I have it right now.
Orange is my favorite color right now, and I have lots of orange like accents everywhere.
I love that.
Okay. Do you have a crush on someone?
Yes. Ew. Yeah. Ew. Gross. Ew. Yeah.
Oh no. How fun.
Okay. It sucks. Ew.
Crushes they're so fun, but they're so horrible at the same time.
They're a lot of work.
It's like I constantly want someone to throw me off a bridge. I want to be murdered every time I text them or like I think about them and smile. I hate it. It's gross. Anytime I text them, I'm like, I'm an idiot. Like they'll just ask me the most simple question like, hey, what time's that show tomorrow? And I'm like, 7, I'm stupid.
There's like, nothing that makes you feel less like an adult than having a crush. Like
having a crush. It's it should probably be illegal, honestly, if we're talking. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Well, you know what? With the world, the way the world's going, it's going to be because the thought
That's
police. Next.
Exactly.
Are out there.
They're coming. Cancel culture is canceling crushes.
They're coming for your crush.
Like that's a 13-year-old Republican. That's their radio show. Just say, cancel quattros, canceling crushes. Nobody has crushes.
Yeah, nobody. They say that I'm not allowed to give a girl a note that says, do you like me? Yes or no?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And sometimes the binary of crushes.
You could just go back to that method because it's so simple.
Yeah.
Just have a friend. Have a friend pass a note. Yeah.
Because now it has to be this whole, like, we're cool adults. Like, you don't need to tell me. Like, let's just get to know each other. And we'll, like, hopefully a year from now be living together or something. I don't know.
I have to say, I did employ pretty much the do you like me, yes or no, for most of my dating years.
And did you do that with Adam?
I don't think I was super far away from that. No, because I didn't. I already knew the answer.
But I will say Barbara did ask him to be her boyfriend on a live TV taping.
Oh. Wait, which TV taping was that?
That's the way to do it. I have a show tomorrow that's like a big show, and maybe this person's going with me, and maybe I should just be like,
do it.
Hey.
Unveil a giant do you like me, yes or no?
Yeah, in front of John Levitt and BJ Novak. Yes. Just like, hey.
It's BJ Novak, isn't it? It's BJ Novak.
It's BJ Novak is my crush.
I was obsessed with him, and this was like back when Live Journal still existed. And yes,
of course.
I made a BJ Novak fan group on Live Journal.
Okay. Do you want to know what's more embarrassing? I had a Michael Ian Black fan group.
Okay, right, Ashley. That is more embarrassing.
Thank you. I love the state. I thought he was so cute in Stella, and now he's like this weirdo. He's such a dick.
He's just like that guy. It sucks that you can't. But you know, I think it's nice that you have like this period of youth where you don't realize that guy is that guy.
Yeah. Before you meet your heroes and you're just like, he's so funny. He's the cute one in the state and Stella. And then now, David Wayne is the hot one. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
How the tides have turned.
Yeah, who knew that was going to happen?
Okay. Did you get into trouble a lot at school?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I was a troublemaker. I remember my like middle school principal brought me in one day and was like, Ashley, you're at a point in your life where you're building your reputation and the building blocks of your reputation matter. And right now I feel like you're using bricks that are going to crumble. And I was just like, shut
that
up,
is such
bitch.
An intense metaphor.
Right? She's like, you're using bricks that are gonna crumble. And the reason she said this to me was because I liked the Grateful Dead and Fish, and I would go to Fish shows with like upperclassmen, which is another problem, yes. But I was like wearing tie-dye pants to school and was like, I have a corduroy bag. Like, I am such a hippie. I love fish.
No,
and she was like, you're a pothead.
Oh man, that sounds like her marriage is falling apart and then she's taking it out on a child.
I just remember like I went home and told my mom, like I would get in trouble a lot, but I had an amazing mom who always had my back. And I would just like go tell my mom and be like, Mrs. G said that I sucked and that like I had bad reputation. And my mom would just go in and be like, you're racist. You're saying this because she's the only black girl in the class. Fuck you guys. She's going to wear tie-dye pants if she wants to. And I was just like, thanks, mom.
That's amazing.
Dude,
thanks.
What was the deal with high school being like such up everyone's ass about what they were wearing?
Right?
Leave us alone. Like, I feel like that was such a battle with so many people.
Yes.
And like,
it was,
my sister and I both, we went to the same high school and we both got slut shamed so bad in high school. Like, so bad. Like, I got in trouble so much because maybe a little bit of my stomach was showing. Bitch, it's fucking 1999. The only shit I can buy shows my stomach.
What do you want us to do?
Go to the mall. This is all that's available.
Yeah. Exactly. Take a look around. Early 2000s fashion. It was low rise jeans and crop shirts.
Yeah.
And
We were talking about whale tail the other day, and like they're building whale tail into pants. It's like.
I saw that at a thing recently. And here's the thing, though. I considered buying the pants for a solid 5 seconds. I was like. That could look cute. And then I was like, no, what am I doing? It's just a denim whale tail built into your pants.
And it's like, it's not true whale tail if it's not the thong, right?
Okay,
it's
exactly.
Yeah, because I was picturing, you know how like sometimes they'll make those pants where they build in the boxers to make it look like someone's sagging?
It's kind of,
I was picturing
it's
that.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Like they have some where it's denim, they have some where it is like a lace thing that comes out or like a fabric. It's I say we struggled with real thongs and those shitty pants.
Yes,
and
we did.
This new generation should have to do it too.
That's how I feel too. That's how I feel too. And like also the thongs that you bought at these stores, they went the opposite direction. So while the pants were like as low as could be, your thong would be up towards your armpits.
Your armpits would just like kind of literally like mid-stomach high-rise thong, and you'd just be like, this is the look.
And you'd just be like, at least my ass crack has fabric over it. You would just be like, at least.
There's that. And you're like Victoria's Secret pink thong, most likely.
And then also this was the time when they had the camisoles with the built-in bra. But I was big titted, I hadn't like accepted how big titted I was. So I was rolling around with just like my tits essentially hanging out.
I don't know those. Why no, they, I ever in a million no years thought that I could wear those, but zero I certainly did.
I mean, the support band is like the strength of a scrunchie. Yes. It's just like you could put a scrunchie around your tits, and then like a camisole strap, and then they were like, "Go out into the world, girls!" Like,
also, someone was talking about this era recently, and like the layering, and like those camisoles would always be under like a fucking V-neck, a V-neck sweater or something, just like so.
Yes. Yeah, a V-neck sweater or like a see-through sweater dress.
Yes,
which okay, if you've seen the Sex in the City movie with Jennifer Hudson, you know the like outfit she wears when Carrie gives her the ugly purse, she has on this like camisole, and then she has like a sweater neck dress over it, and then like a giant belt. And I had that exact same outfit. I got it from Charlotte Russe.
The most 90s.
It was just made for layering. It's like the most like early 2000s. It's
the layers and layers.
I was like, you're gonna be able to. Yes, that is it. That is it exactly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The wide belt.
Also,
the wide belt.
Those fucking dresses that have a V that come down in the middle of your boobs. That you're like, why would this ever? This is not something anyone wants to wear.
No.
Yeah, it's only made to be layered. Like you cannot wear it without something.
Well,
under
and
it.
That's such an awkward place to put a belt, like right under your boobs. That's not your waist. Yeah. That's your rib cage.
But that's what we all thought looked good. We were all just like, no, your belt has to be like 5 inches thick, and it should just cover your like entire abdomen, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's an empire waist.
Yeah. Oh, the empire waist.
The old empire. Yeah, it was a hard day when you realized like, oh, the camisole doesn't work. I need to actually invest in like bras.
And bras, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
I can't be one of those girls who's just like titty free and out loose.
I feel like I've been trying to get back to that ever since.
I was going to say.
That wireless life.
I'm actually back on the wireless life. And I'm like, I think it turns out in my lifetime, I only wore real bras for a cumulative 5 years.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, when I was in an office, I would like wear real bras. And now that, you know, work from home life for almost 2 years now or whatever, I've just been like, I'm never going back to wired bras. I've like fully gone the bralette life.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
I will shout out Parades because they are very
good. Are they good?
With like, they are. Like, they do well with bigger sizes.
What the fuck?
They figured it out.
None of us have gotten any of this free fucking underwear. What the hell's going on?
I don't. Their thing is, I don't know how they choose what random people they'll be like, you get it. Because like at first I was like, oh, you have to be like popular online, and then you get it. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Barbara. Her computer died.
Fucking
uh-oh,
Mercury.
It says I'm the host now.
In retrograde.
Oh.
Mercury retrograde.
Oh, my God.
It did just start. Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck happened. That was so weird. My whole thing just shut off. Sorry.
Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of talking about free underwear. Whatever.
Parade. It's Parade. They're listening and they're just like, nope.
They were like
shut it down.
Cut it off.
Okay. Let's do one more before we go to break. What's a good one here? What is something you've given a lot of thought to lately?
Oh, God.
This is a MySpace going deep.
Honestly, I mean, I just moved into a new apartment. So, like, I have put so much thought into, like, my... Because I had to get all new furniture, all new kitchen stuff. I did not know that I could think so much about like what a proper dish rack should be.
Oh my right. God.
Like, yeah. Just like when you're like pages deep on Wayfair and Amazon and all like Bed Bath and Beyond, and you're just like, I just need a toilet paper holder, and you're like considering 10 different options. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And then it also just starts to feel like you're like hemorrhaging money. Like you just keep having shit to buy. Like you think you're done, and then.
Yeah. I like today I was like, I'm in a good place. And then I was like, I only have one chair.
I mean, I go through phases where I super obsess over like one item to buy. So I did that exactly with a dish rack, and I can send you the one that I got. Oh, did you get
very
one?
Nice.
I did get one. I have no idea when it'll be here, if it'll fit.
Right.
I go the like internet package, just like measure it. Let's see, hope it works, and we'll see.
Yeah. But like, I totally go down those whole, I get it. And when you move somewhere new, you're like,
yeah.
But you want it, if you want that fresh start too, so you want it to be perfect. So of course you're going to obsess, and there's so many fucking options.
Well, yeah. Right? And then that, like, you can't relax if everything else is in place, but then you need a paper towel holder.
Yeah, and it's like also because I didn't have any major, like I don't have shelves, I don't have dressers, so I can't even unpack because I don't have anywhere to put my stuff.
Oh,
so I'm just like, I have to think about what wall shelf I want for like 30 hours.
What's like, gonna do it? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this, just be the MySpace thing. Just, I want to quickly share the story. I almost lost my virginity because of a MySpace bulletin.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And so I just think we need to bring back MySpace. There was this like guy in my town where I was growing up who was like the most popular musician, like, you know, the big in the DIY scene guy. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, not a big place. This guy was like the biggest poet, the biggest musician. And we were, of course, MySpace friends, which I will say I was in high school. So maybe, and he was an adult, but okay.
And this all tracks, unfortunately.
It does. And he like posted a thing that was like, I need a keyboard for my band. And I was like, this guy's amazing. He's so cool.
Oh, God.
I have a keyboard that my mom bought me when I was in sixth grade that I haven't touched in years. And I hit him up and I was like, if you take this keyboard, will you take my virginity? And then it'll be a story for me.
Damn.
And I was like, I will trade you this keyboard for my virginity. And he was, of course, on board. He was like, yes.
I like that you're like, I'll trade you. Like, he was getting two things.
That's not a trade. That's a double thing.
At the time, I was like, oh my God. So, like, losing my virginity to him would be the coolest story and thing that could ever happen.
That is incredible. Just like,
but here's the thing. So it had like, I went over to his place and like brought the keyboard.
Yeah.
And then like when it all started happening, he like couldn't get hard and was like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Like, I'm so sorry.
Thank God.
And he was again, like, he was like, how old are you? And I was like 16. And he was like, no. And I was like, okay. But then I was a 16-year-old girl. So I was just like, oh my God, I suck. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then years later, I found out. So like at the same time all of this was happening, he was ironically running for mayor of our town.
Oh my God.
Which,
anyone who's from Rockford, Illinois now suddenly immediately knows who I'm talking about. But he was like this artist who was like, as a political statement, I'm running for mayor. And he believed that I was a like honeypot sent by the government to trap him so that he would not win the mayoral race. Also, I want to say he only won like 3% of the vote. Like, I don't think anyone no one was like targeting the like sarcastic, ironic artist, mayor person. Like,
I was going to say, that man's name is Rod Gavoyevich.
Oh my God.
That is
amazing.
And he
like messaged me when I was like in my 20s, like 7 years later, and was like, I just want you to know, like, you're a really hot girl and I couldn't get hard because I thought you were a trap sent by Republicans or something. And I was
not
like,
not because
honestly,
I realized it was wrong, but because I thought it was a trap.
Because you were a child.
maybe I shouldn't have sex with a 16-year-old who's giving me a keyboard on MySpace, but...
Actually, that is batshit crazy that he chose to clarify that. And yeah, really that's... shows quite a bit of troubling things.
Yeah, it was character. Literally like he Facebook messaged me one day at like 3 a.m. and I was
different
just like...
Different platform.
I was getting
yes. to a different platform.
He was
platform.
Trying to hook...
I might, you know...
Like, he was trying to hook up a... Right? This was like a follow-up.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't...
Okay, oh, yeah.
Was like, of course
and, like,
he was.
He, I, yeah,
his
he
political
still lives...
career was in shambles. You
how,
know
hot
I mean.
Is, how, still... how hot is that to be like, hey, sorry I couldn't get hard when, like, really...
When you were a child.
Years ago when you were a child, but...
That, God, men are so stupid sometimes. He fucking opened up a tab and wrote that message.
Yeah, and, like, he still lives in the same house and everything in Rockford. I was just there and went to visit, and he was just like... remember in this room? And I was like, I remember. It was, I left here crying and I went to a diner and met with my friends where I was just like, I must be like so horrifying.
Oh,
like what
God.
Happened?
Are you glad that it didn't happen?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I still got a story out of it. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
I would argue, I think this story is probably preferable.
This, I do think this story for is sure. better than like, oh, I lost my virginity to someone who, and it sucked, and he came after like 2 seconds, and then I was sad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure.
But did he use the keyboard? That's the real question.
He did. Yeah. He actually did. He did tell, when he hit me up, he was like, by the way, I still have that keyboard. I still use it on tour.
Oh my God.
And then he like... recently told me that he like set it on fire at some show. He was like, it was like a rock star thing. I like burned it and like, yeah. And I was,
you know,
like,
someone's
okay.
a rock star when they're like, you know, it was like a rock star thing.
Yeah, when they tell, when they have to clarify why they burn
we were
a keyboard,
just doing rock
like,
star
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
You know,
just rock star
that
shit.
That is funny because
it.
It's like, you know, you oh, think of like, man. You think of slamming a guitar, but I guess you have to go another level with a keyboard and be like, let me just set this on fire.
Let me just, you gotta, because those don't burn easily. You gotta like cover that and you gotta get supplies.
Green Day used to set drums kits on fire at the end of every show, which is very pricey. Green Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Back in like the early aughts and stuff. Very pricey stunt.
That's very
yeah, that costs
Do you
a lot.
Think that they maybe... Yeah. Okay, did we see them play the drums before they set them on fire, or were they prop drums?
No, they were their, they were their drums, but a lot of like bands, like they'll have like drum kits that they either like rent or buy just for those individual shows. And at that time, they were so big, they could buy a cheap
drum.
Every time. Green Day's drum parts aren't so crazy that they need like a fancy rig of any kind.
Yeah. You know what? I don't like that though, and like I just don't like it. Like I don't like when people are mean to equipment.
Yeah. I'm kind of,
like, I don't like going on a stand-up show when someone starts doing weird shit with the mic. It makes me nervous.
I'm like, that costs a lot of money. Yeah. You gotta be careful with that. Like, you live in a money tree? No, microphones are expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, we all learned a lesson here. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to my friend Dave Irish, who actually came over the other day, and he... because of everything with COVID and everything, he gave me a microphone to bring to stand-up shows for myself because he works in music and he's always been disgusted at how we share microphones.
Yes, absolutely.
And he was like, in a post-COVID world, I refuse to know that you were doing that anymore. And he gave me a, he gave me a little Shure SM58. So,
wow.
Nice.
Shout out.
That is so cool.
I love it. I'm going to decorate it and be that person.
I have those little microphone condoms.
Yeah.
That I use.
I don't care. I'm like, I share our germs.
Yeah.
I feel like.
At this point, like, I feel like even when I'll put the microphone condom on and then the next comic will just keep it on there. And I'm like, that defeats the purpose, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comics are disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm back to smoking weed at parties and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, I never stop smoking weed. I always do it. But I got into COVID, I got into just like rolling a lot of like pre-rolls so that I can give people their own joints. So that's like what I typically do now is like I'll use cones and then I can just be like, here, just take your own. And I'll roll shorty ones so that I can be like, oh, just take this little tiny one if you don't want to like smoke a full joint. But that way, because I just don't like sharing, because people get the blood, they get it wet. They get like the tip of it wet. And I just am very particular about like the texture of my like crutch on my joints.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. I've just been smoking weed with strangers for a very long time. And my level of tolerance is disgustingly high.
Yeah. I mean, Like, I was at a festival in Boston like 2 weekends ago, and it was like a weed festival in Boston Commons, and I was just like sharing bowls with every goddamn stranger, just like,
I mean, a weed festival, like, yeah. What?
Oh,
what
weed festival. How cute is that? I used to live off the Boston Commons. That's where I used to smoke weed in the Boston Commons like every night.
Yeah.
I will say Ashley's like a fucking incredible, she rolls beautiful joints.
You do.
And like, I do.
Wait, I just looked at, I have to show because I feel like Tess will very appreciate this. They're like beautiful and like, God, signature. So I would say signature.
Ashley.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. So like those pink whole presentation little ones that you shared, those are like my baby bitch joints.
Oh, right, right.
And those are like the little ones I'll hand out to people when I'm like, I don't want you to smoke what I'm, so just take this.
Like, here's a little bit.
And you have a cute little like, you know, old-timey just... cigarette case for them. It's too
cute. Yeah. I have like a cigarette case. I have one of those like, you know, like long cigarette holders, like Breakfast at Tiffany's things. I have like all, I have like little ring joint holders. I love weed accessories and like making it cute because I feel like for so long people were like, stoners are like, gross men who do like resin hits out of, you know, like Gatorade bottles, and it's like, it doesn't have to be that way.
Do you know what we're called, Ashley? Because I used to be a cannabis blogger. That's, we're stiletto stoners.
Oh, God. Ew.
That's that's like girls who are like really into like girly weed products and have exactly all the things that you just described. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I do have this like, I have a so it looks like a champagne bottle, but it like comes apart, like the top comes off, and then all these joints pop out.
Oh, that's cool.
And
oh,
I'll fill it with pre-rolls and I bring that to parties instead of like a bottle of alcohol. I'll just be like, boom, everybody grab
that
a joint, and people
what
love
a great
it.
Party gift. Damn, that's great.
Exactly. That's great. And that does feel very stiletto stoner to me.
Exactly.
I love that.
It's very definition.
Yes.
Oh my God. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back in a second, everybody.
Baby.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everybody, I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
And I'm Tess.
And we're here with Ashley Ray. Okay.
Hey.
Let's do some lady problems. If you want to send one to us, you can email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also give us a call at 323-6-BUT-30. And we're trying to get to, we have a lot down the pipe, so don't feel like we're never going to get to you, but we're just trying to get everybody's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. I'm just going to get straight to this because my last call failed and it's a lot to put into 2 minutes. So this is a lady problem that I've been dealing with for a while, and I'm just feeling particularly guilty recently. So I play this video game, and this video game is where I've met a lot of my closest friends. And this past summer, I met this guy named Charlie on this video game, and we, like, super hit it off. We became best friends almost immediately, and then it became more than that. It became, like, I live in Ohio, he lives in California, so there was the distance, but we would talk. Every single day, we would flirt, we started sexting, we started doing, you know, phone sex, we did all that stuff, we sent pictures, videos, and on top of that, we were, like, telling each other that we loved each other, and it was going really well, I thought. And then we're talking to one of his friends from real life one day, and he mentions that Charlie's getting married in 3 weeks. And I didn't know that he was even engaged or dating somebody. So I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, I love you. And I thought about canceling my wedding for you, but I just can't. I love her too much. So long story short, I now play the game still with Charlie, and his wife plays with us now. And I just have this, like, overwhelming feeling of guilt. Like, should I tell her that he cheated on her? Like, we never slept together, but it's still cheating. And, like, if I do tell her, is it because I feel bad for her? Because I do, and I want her to know. But also, could it be because I still love Charlie and it's, like, a little bit of selfishness? Like, I know Charlie and I can never be together, but there's still a part of me that is like, I love him, but also I don't want her to have to deal with a cheater. So let me know what you think. Sorry, that was a lot.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Ooh. That is a Charlie problem.
Yeah.
Massive Charlie problem.
Oh, wow. Okay, guys, stop. I'm just here. You got to stop playing this video game with these people.
First of all, you have got to stop engaging with him and his wife. Like 100%.
Because from her perspective, too, right now, if you do say something, she's going to be like, what the fuck? You've been like playing a video game with me, and this has, you know, it's like now you know her, too. It's like you just got to get away from both of them.
I mean, I think like it's, I'm rereading it and it's like, yeah, he mentioned he's getting married in 3 weeks, and it's like, wait, what? And it's like, I love you. I thought about canceling my wedding for you. And then she goes, so long.
No, he didn't.
So long story short, I now play the game with Charlie and his wife.
I think we missed most of Act Two.
Like, yada yada yada.
When you found out, when you found out he was getting married, why weren't you immediately like, "Don't ever talk to me again. I'm done."
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, fine. That's like, I get not wanting to do that. Obviously, you still like this guy, and you know, I feel like I haven't been in this exact situation before, but I feel like I've been adjacent to it, and like, you like him, you like the flirtation, you're kind of like a little excited now probably with the wife thing because it's like, whoa, like it's this extra level of, you know, stuff. So
yeah,
I think really like you got to cut him out. I mean, he's a I hope you're pissed at what he did to you, because that's like he did something really shitty.
I feel like maybe you're putting a lot of emotion into what he's doing and thinking it like was the basis of real concern or care for you. But really, it's that men will have phone sex and have like online relationships with people because they like the attention. And it's like the equivalent of looking at porn for them. Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, it's not real for them. It's fucked up, but it's like,
It's shitty. Yeah. Cause it's not, they're not thinking about the real person on the other end of that. They're just kind of, getting caught up, I think, in the, you know, the sex and the, you know, instant gratification of it all.
Now, I hope,
were you even going to find this out if his friend hadn't said anything?
Yeah.
No, of course not. He was going to keep sexting you. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I hope she's able to extricate herself. Like, I don't know how these, like, video game groups work. Like, do you think she'll be able to not play with them but still keep her other friends? Because I think that would suck for her to lose all of these friends that she's made.
I don't know.
I mean, that's true.
If you play with a group of people, honestly, I think you should, and they're part of the group, I think you should tell him, hey, look, I'm not comfortable with you being a part of this anymore, so I think you and your wife need to go somewhere else. Like, I don't think you need to sacrifice.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel like, I feel like she could set that boundary.
Yeah, and Charlie's probably going to listen to you, because
he fucking owes you that much.
He's going to have to explain to his wife, like, why don't we play that game with them again anymore?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it sounds like this guy, it's like, if you're playing this game with somebody you were just sexting with, you don't care if you get caught, or like he knows he's going to get caught someday too.
That's true.
Maybe he wants to get caught.
Maybe. I don't know.
And it's not so much that he has feelings for this other girl so much as like he's trying to find a way out of this other relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds such a mess. Like the Icarus level of having your wife play a video game with a woman you were sexting with. How do you not lose your mind?
Men will do that. I mean, I've been watching American Crime Story Impeachment about Monica Lewinsky. And like, she talks about how when she, it's amazing. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's amazing.
And they talk about like when Monica was in college, I guess she dated a married guy that she didn't know was married. And then he was like, why don't you become friends with my wife? It'll make it easier to have you around. And she did it. And I was like, oh, girl.
So French. Okay. I listened to the Slow Burn podcast about the Monica Lewinsky Clinton stuff. And like, I didn't realize, I guess because I was a kid, like, it was hot.
Of course. That is what I mean when I watch American Crime Story. I am like, this is super sexy.
The part where she like is the tie gets cut off. What is it? She cuts off the tie and sends it to him in an envelope.
What happens?
Do you know the?
Oh, they haven't gotten to that.
Okay, okay.
That's there's not in the show yet.
Okay, yeah, it's very sexy. Okay, some.
I thought it was sexy when he was like walking around the White House and she's like flashing her whale tail thong at him. She's like, hey, I was like,
of course. Girl. I mean, of course it was. It's like literally, you're at the pinnacle of like, we shouldn't be doing this. That is
exactly. You're fucking in the Oval Office. I 1000. Bill Clinton is obviously such a sleazebag, but I 1000% understand it from Monica Lewinsky's POV.
She's
22. What do you expect?
Yeah. You're not during office hours when there's like Secret Service outside.
Right. Now, come on.
I haven't. Oh, Brandy, you froze.
I'm still talking.
Okay.
Yeah, we can still hear you.
I have admitted this before in this podcast, but I'll admit it again because it's been a while in case we have any new listeners. When the cigar thing happened, I did not know that it was a sexual encounter of the sort that it was. I thought that she was being sexy with the cigar, like
like a Groucho.
Groucho Marx, like, my teen brain thought, but it was something like that. No idea that it was insertion or that something actually sexual happened with it.
But I mean,
a comedian.
I literally am just right now finding out about this. Like, I kind of remember something about a cigar and he apparently, Clinton, but like, I don't.
Fucked her with a cigar.
He blasted her with a cigar. Which, like, in your defense, Babs, that's so much weirder than just being sexy with a cigar.
Did he keep it wrapped in plastic?
I hope. Or, like, I hope they didn't cut it, right?
Yeah, like keep it wrapped or it had to be wrapped. It had to be still wrapped.
Do we think it was a Cuban? Like it wasn't just like a bodega cigar.
No.
It definitely was like a Cuban, like hard to find. Like he was like, this is embargoed. Like,
dignitary gave to him or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely an extremely illegal embargo.
Yeah, or that was like
the president can't say that he has.
Or that was like stolen from the grave of like Castro's parents in Cuba just for Clinton. Like it's something like that.
Yeah, it was a CIA op to get him the cigar inside of Lewinsky. Yeah,
perfect. But okay, back to Charlie.
Back to Charlie because I feel like with Charlie we have a little bit of a Bill Clinton problem. And
it's
a little similar. And so I think you are Monica Lewinsky. So you need to go off and have a successful purse career, become a feminist powerhouse and never pay this guy mind again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He owes you that much to leave the group of friends.
Yeah.
And
look, so that you can still play.
And I realize that the advice we're giving to you is like very, very hard to follow through on because you obviously like him. You're obviously like probably, you know, you're into communicating with him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be hard, but it's going to be better for you. It's going to be better for, you know, like, I don't think you need to tell the wife anything.
No.
I think you just need to extricate, get him out of this situation. Don't put yourself through that. It's not fair to you to have to deal with that. So,
well, and I also think there's like an addiction to the drama that he has brought into the situation. So you also like, bringing in the wife also heightens the drama and it also makes him say how he feels about you.
Right.
So it's not about actually making her feel better. It is like still in that addictive cycle, I think, of like continuing to keep that connection together. And like the best thing you can do is just fucking cut them both out, go play something else, you know, tell them to go play something else. and just never block them and never speak to either one of them again.
I definitely remember when I was younger confusing that drama for like feelings, because you're like, it feels so intense. It must mean that all this. Yeah. And
it must mean we care about
each
other.
I have songs now that make me reminded of this situation. It must be real.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, this guy was just a fucking dick.
Well, and what he did to you, there's a thing called love bombing, which is like when somebody first meets and they just like just pummel you with like, I love you, I'll text you, I'm gonna, like, you know, it's just all
attention and gratification you could ever want.
So you get addicted to it, and then it's like that becomes the cycle of it.
And
so
that's
it's
what like, sounds like kind of happened. She was like, we became friends immediately, and then it turned to this immediately.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like
there it is.
So I'm sorry, but no, bye-bye, Charlie. Well,
bye, Charlie.
Yeah. He's got to go.
Bye-bye.
Like, yeah, I do think that's the other like side of the coin of the like, he's just not that into you coin, is actually people just need to remember their frame. He's just a fucking dick. That's all it is.
He's just dealing with his own goddamn problems and wants to make you part of those problems.
Yeah. Sorry, ma'am, you encountered yet another asshole.
That's a great follow-up to that. He's just a Oh, well, Ashley, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was awesome to...
Thank you. This was so awesome.
Like I said, you guys can check out our show. It's the second Thursday of every month. So our next one is tomorrow, October 14th, at the Airliner. It's so much fun. We've been having a blast. And tell everybody where they can find you online and find all of your stuff.
Yeah, probably Twitter is where everybody loves to follow me, at The Ashley Ray, two E's in the, because I got suspended, but my new account is The Ashley Ray, or Instagram, The Ashley Ray with one E, or just go to my website, theashleyray.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. This is Madeline, friend of Brandy, New York City comedian. I recently listened to your episode with Sophia Benoit, and I just wanted to say that it made me rewatch George of the Jungle, and it, like, awakened all these memories within me. I now grew up to be a gay woman, but it's like, if I ever could be with any man, it would be Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle, because he's just something so hot. And he wears a dress better than, like, anyone else in the world. And it's actually a really good movie. And Leslie Mann is really comforting in it. And the part where he's with the horses and the dudes are like, what's up with chicks and horses? I don't know. This is just a plug for 1997 film George of the Jungle. Also, on your most recent episode, The Lady Problem, I just wanted to say I have been going through something really similar with the stomach problems and the having to get an endoscopy and, like, you know, it's so frustrating and it's so annoying. And I think that it's very common for, like, women to not be listened to at the doctor. So, you know, I just wanted to say to the listener to try to find a doctor who's really taking your problem seriously, because I've had these stomach problems on and off for like 10 years. And, you know, recently found out it was like a really serious problem, but lots of times we'll just chalk it up to anxiety or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's good if you can go to a doctor who's actually listening to you, because doctors often are not really listening to women. So yeah, good luck. And, you know, if you don't want to drink, people should not be shitty to you about that. Anyway, I love your podcast. Hello to all of you. Have a good day. Bye.
Hi, ladies. I just watched, I guess I just listened to your most recent episode where, you asked what is the most funniest real name you know. And I just wanted to share that my dentist when I was in fifth grade name was Dr. Harry Peach. And he was a hairy ass Italian guy who would stick his fucking fingers in my mouth. And yeah, that's all I could think of. Also, my mom had a peer in high school whose name was Donna Swallow Roach. And that came with, you know, all the jokes you can imagine about what swallowing could be and then eating roaches. So, yeah, there you go.